You're listening to a message from Pastor Jack Holt at The River.
Tonight I'm going to be ministering to you on how to bring heaven upon earth in your family, in your career, in your raising your children. And it's a phrase that you'll find it in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy 11:21. And it was a promise that God told the people that if they believed in the Abrahamic blessings, that it would be as the days of heaven upon earth, and he would lengthen their life in the land. And so it's all about possessing the promises. Now, I want to say this to start with. Confession in the Word of God is very important. But most people, I was raised in Catholic Church, and confession was all about confessing sin. But in Scripture, it's about confessing, declaring what God's Word says. And you find, for instance, in the Old Testament, the emphasis would be spoken like having a good report. In the New Testament, it just simply says to hold fast to the confession of your hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And hope there's not talking about, I'm hoping and praying things will get better. It's the certainty of faith that he's talking about in that verse. And so, whether in the New Testament or the Old Testament, the confession of faith was critical for the kingdom of God to reign in your life. And tonight, what we're going to do is we're going to look at how to believe according to Scripture. Because if we don't know how to believe according to Scripture, we might think that we're praying in faith. We might think that we are approaching God in the right way, and we'll be cheated out of the blessings. So if you would, I want you to look at this text. We're going to be looking at Mark 11:20. And look up at the screen here. Notice what it says. He says, "Now in the morning, after they passed by, he saw a fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter remained and said to him, 'Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away.' And so he answered and said unto them, 'Have faith in God. For surely I say unto you that whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things that he says will be done, he will have whatever he says.' Therefore," say therefore. When you see therefore, find out what it's there for. It points back to the previous teaching. "I say to you that whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them." Now, I wanted to lay this foundation, and I want you to see the background of it because it'll help understand where we're going with this. In this story, Jesus curses a fig tree. And the Scripture says that it wasn't season for the figs. And so the big question is, why would Jesus curse a tree that it wasn't a season for it to bear fruit? And the reason why is because the Jewish people, they had this word, you might want to write it down. It's T-A-Q-S-H. It's to quash. It is a word used for a bud that buds on the fig tree that has to grow first before the fig grows. So this bud is what Jesus was going after to eat, and he knew that if the bud wasn't there, it wouldn't produce figs afterwards. It's a pre-fruit. And it's interesting that Jesus uses this as an illustration of mountain-moving faith, because he tells us there's a pre-faith that precedes the removing of your mountains. There's a pre-faith that precedes your prayers being answered. And so that's why he did the miracle that he did, is because he was teaching them a very important principle here, that you have to believe you receive before you can have what you prayed for. Now, he didn't say you'll have it first. He said you have to believe you receive first, and then you'll have it. That's the pre-fruit that I'm talking about in the text here tonight. Can someone say amen? Now, this is important because if we're going to pray according to God's will, we got to do it the way God said to do it. Now, notice how he concludes when he says, therefore, when you pray, when you ask for something, believe that you receive it and you will have it. I want you to say this with me. I need to believe I receive. Turn to your neighbor and say, I need to believe I receive. Turn to someone else and say, you got to believe I receive. Before you have it. He didn't say that you would have it first. He said you had to believe you receive first, and then you would have it. This is how you are to exercise faith. And I liken it on to this. The first time the Lord taught me about this, I was going to a meeting with my wife, and it was a lot of young people going to a heated pool, and we were there swimming in a public pool with everybody. And I had prayed about a tumor that I had on the back of my hand here that was about, I'd say at least an inch tall. And I was going in on Monday to have it cut out. And I remember I got a hold of this teaching, and I said, well, I'm going to believe I receive before I see anything at all. And I remember that day, I said, Lord, I just believe I received my healing. And there's the bump's still there. And I'll never forget, after that time in that heated pool that we're in, I got up and I'm walking outside. I look down, it's gone. I mean, it isn't just Lord, it's gone. Amen. Nothing there at all. Now, that was one of the first times that I had experienced how that worked. I seen my wife get healed of food allergies that were so bad in her life that if she ate shrimp or whatever, she would start choking. And I mean, it was dangerous. And she had been praying with my kids. Now, they're just small kids. They're praying in faith. And she said to me that night that we were taking some folks out at the country club, and she said to me, she said, I believe the Lord's healed me. I said, well, baby, do not order shrimp and crab. And she was submissive to me. Amen? And I remember we did the order, and we told the waiter there, we said, now listen, make sure there's no crab or shrimp in the meal that she's kidding. And he walked away and came back. Anyway, she starts eating the meal. And you know how when you eat crab, it kind of squishes down? And she started smiling. She said, I'm eating crab and shrimp, and nothing's happening. I'm healed. Now, we've been eating crab and shrimp ever since. May not be really good for you, but the miracle is wonderful. And then the waiter comes, and I said, you gave her crab and shrimp. And he starts sweating. I said, it's okay. Jesus just healed her and started to share her faith with the waiter there. Can you say amen? But it was a process where she believed she received for a period of time before the actual manifestation of it came to pass in your life. See, if you're asking for help, that's you haven't gone far enough. I don't mean to be negative, but just asking won't do it. You got to ask and then receive what you ask for. Amen. Are you listening to me? You haven't went far enough if all you do is ask. And a lot of people, they've been asking for the same thing over and over and over and over again. Jesus didn't say to pray that way. He said, whatever you ask for, believe you receive. I said, believe you receive whatever you ask. And all the parables Jesus did on prayer, and the one that people get caught up on is, you remember the guy that needed some bread and he goes to his neighbor at midnight to get the bread, and that's the teaching where Jesus said, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and the door shall be open. And we think, well, you just keep asking and asking and asking. No. In the parable, he had to find the house where his friend was at to receive. He had to knock until the door opened, and he had to ask until he received. If he hadn't received or hadn't found what he was seeking after or hadn't seen the door open, then his faith would have failed. So we haven't gone far enough if all we do is ask. You gotta ask and receive. Now, I'm gonna show you how to do this. And listen, I don't want you to get mad at me, praise God. I'm just preaching what Jesus said. I didn't write this thing. He said, when you pray, and now listen to me. He said, whatever you ask, whatever things you ask for, this is the process. That you ask and you believe, you receive whatever you ask for. Turn to somebody and say, I'm ready now to receive. Come on, help me out tonight, church. This is powerful. So you haven't gone far enough if all you're doing is asking. 1 Thessalonians, write this down, 5:18 says that in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. Did you ever notice it makes it clear it's the will of God that we thank God in everything, but you don't thank him for something you haven't received. In other words, whatever situation you're in, you pray in faith and you receive what you need in your time of need, and then you give thanks in the trial. You give thanks in it because you know you're going to have what you asked for, because what you asked for, you received. So thanksgiving is what follows receiving. Hallelujah. And I'm not talking about mental assent here. I'm talking about believing in your heart. When you believe in your heart, and you can believe in your heart because you have faith, you receive that, and as you receive that, you give thanks to God. Lord, thank you, thank you. Thank you for my healing. Thank you, man, and this is how you get healed. You may have to thank him for months, sometimes even years. But if you receive it in prayer, you know, make sure you're asking something according to the will of God. But when you do that, God is behind the scenes bringing it to pass in your life. You say, what do you mean behind the scenes? Remember when Abraham was believing God that his son would be raised from the dead when he took him up to the mountain to offer? He didn't know what was behind the scenes. What was behind the scene on the other side of the mountain, there was a ram coming up to meet his need that he's going to need when he gets to the top. God wouldn't have had that behind the scenes preparing for it if he hadn't believed he received. But as soon as he believed he received, he set it in motion. This is one of the reasons why people's faith fail, because we beg God, we moan, we cry, we get angry with him, we yell at him and say, it's not working. That's not how you pray. Amen. Nothing wrong with sharing God that you're feeling miserable or whatever, but it won't change unless you change on the inside. You won't have the kingdom reign in your family, reign in your body, reign in your finances, unless you believe according to what is written. It's what activates the power of God in your life and brings the blessings. Now, I learned this. Write this down, 2 Corinthians 12:8. It talks about the Apostle Paul, and he talks about 14 years. Say 14 years. That's a long time. He had gotten all this revelation from God, but for 14 years, he was experiencing tremendous persecution. See, if you don't know this, Paul was a Pharisee. And Paul was hired by the religious leaders that hated Christianity to go around and arrest people and throw them in jail and have them killed and all that. That's what Paul was doing, and then he gets converted. And so the persecution in his life was great because he was in their midst. But he said this, he said concerning the thorn in his flesh, which is, by the way, a term for persecution. He said, I beseech the Lord three times. In 14 years. Now, for 14 years, if you're standing in faith for 14 years, I don't know about you, but I ask a lot more than three times. But he was a man of faith. He knew that his faith wouldn't work unless he received what he asked for. Now, the Lord told him that, in his situation that he was in, that in his weakness he would be made strong and his grace was sufficient. But he knew how to pray in faith. That's why he only prayed three times in 14 years over something that was one of the worst problems he ever faced in his life. So I'm saying that because I don't want you to think you're odd or anything else. And remember this, Jesus didn't say to believe it was going to be all right. He didn't say to believe that one day I'm going to get healed. He didn't say to believe that one day I'm going to have all my bills paid. He wasn't saying that. He said, when you pray, believe that you receive what you ask for and you'll have it. In other words, the certainty of your future that you want, that you're hoping for, isn't certain until you believe you receive first. Just to say, hey, one day I'm going to get my house paid off, doesn't mean anything. Unless you've believed you receive his assistance to do so before that. Are you following me? So we get confused and we think we're in faith. Yeah, one day I'm going to feel better. One day I'm going to be able to walk on this lake. One day I'm going to, do this and all that stuff. But that's not faith. That's just hope. And you can have the certainty of what you hoped for if you've asked and received first. And then once you receive it, you go, I've prayed in faith. I've spiritually received what I need. I did that a month ago. And I know that it's going to turn out for my good and God's going to come through. You can do it in that context, but not without the first part. If you do it without the first part, it just won't work. And then people go, well, God's just not moving in power like he used to. He's always moved in power. He doesn't say one generation gets power, more power than the other. It makes no difference. It's all according to what is written. When you believe according to what is written, power is displayed. Heaven comes on earth. Hallelujah. Long life comes on earth. Come on, everybody. When you believe according to his word. Now remember this. When you believe you receive, at that moment you believe the tide has turned. It's turned. Things are going to be different now. It's turned. Joyce and I, we love to go to the ocean. And I love to watch the tide come in and go out. So as soon as I get down to the beach, first thing I want to do is figure out if it's coming in or going out. Once you believe you receive, the tide starts coming in for you. And your blessings start coming in for you. But you have to believe you receive. Pastor, you got to be kidding me. You trying to tell me I have to believe that I'm healed before I feel healed? Absolutely. I have to believe I've received spiritually the provision in my life before I see any kind of financial increase? Yes. You trying to tell me that I have to believe I receive reconciliation with my spouse before they change their attitude? Or before they're saying anything positive? Yes. Believe you receive. I think we ought to give God a shout right now. Just we could stop right now, go home and get healed, get blessed. That's good stuff. It'll change you. It'll transform you. And it'll bring you into the blessing that God has. So understand, as soon as you believe you receive, the tide's coming in. Your blessing's coming in. You don't know how God's going to do it behind the scene, but he started at work. So it doesn't matter if it gets worse. He's still at work. Sometimes it gets worse before the miracle comes, but it's coming. Your thing is to hold fast to your confession of faith. And we do that by declaring, I've received this. Now, we live in a very pagan state. Let's face it, it's pagan here. You go back to the Bible Belt, it's different. I remember my wife, she was all stressed out because we were broke and everything else. So she was sick all the time, and she went to the doctor. And the problem was the doctor was a Christian. And he was a spirit-filled Christian. So she comes home and she's a little bit ticked off because he gave her a list of scripture. Are you following me? You have to believe you receive what God has promised in the Word of God. And I'll tell you right up front, when you do this, healing always comes. Like I say, it could take months, it could take years, it'll come. But you have to believe you receive spiritually whatever the Word has promised you that you need in your life. How many are familiar with Joel Osteen? Amen. Now, he's the young one, but I listened to his dad, which was John Osteen. And John Osteen, his wife, her name is Dottie. Now, she's 90 years old right now. 90 years old. But years, I think it was 40-some years ago, she came down with terminal cancer. It was so bad that the doctor said, there's nothing we could do. She's just going to die. Need to put her on hospice. She's done. So John carried her out of the hospital to his house, and they prayed in faith for her healing. And she wrote down when she had received her spiritual healing. And then she started to try to walk around the house, and she would thank God for what she received the day before. And then the day after that, she began to thank God. And I'm not sure how long it took, but she was healed completely of it. She's 90 years old right now. Can you say amen? When she had terminal cancer. But she was doing what I'm telling you to do here. She believed she received. And it was spiritual. It wasn't physical. But the spiritual will eventually manifest in the physical realm in your life. But you got to be willing to believe for it. And thank God for it every day. And sometimes you don't feel like, well, I don't feel healed. Just thank Him for the healing. When the Lord healed one of allergies in my life, it took 9 months. And I was going to Bible school, going to healing school. And it still took 9 months. But I asked in the beginning, I said, Lord, I'm asking for this healing. And I built it on His Word. I said, Your Word said, by Your stripes I am healed. Hallelujah. You said in Your Word that the prayer of faith would save the sick, and if they committed any sins, they would be forgiven, and God would raise them up. You said in Your Word that we're not to forget Your benefits, who forgives all of our iniquities and heals all of our diseases. You said in Deuteronomy that You would take sickness out of the midst of us. And so I went through all these verses, and I'd remind him of Mark 11:24. And I said, I'm asking You for this, and I believe I received today. This is what I got. That was 9 months earlier. And what I was believing for was allergies. And if you've ever been to Tulsa, all they have there is wind and dust and bugs. All people do there is go to church and eat. That's all they do, which is great. But it's a terrible place. So I'm outside walking the streets of Tulsa in windstorms, wind blowing. Hair, it's always a bad hair day in Tulsa. And the very thing I'm allergic to is blown in my face. And I'm quoting all these verses every night. Probably spent at least 20 minutes quoting all these verses for 9 months. I didn't have money to go to the doctor. I didn't have money to take shots like I did when I was back in Washington. I didn't have any money. So I just confessed and confessed and confessed and confessed and thanked God for it and thanks God for it. And all of a sudden, after 9 months, I noticed I wasn't allergic to it. And then it was years later, they tested me for allergies and I had zero. Like 12, 15 years after that. It works. But here's what a lot of people do is they believe they receive, God touches them, and then they let go of what they received. I had a friend, In fact, he just sent me a little book that he wrote about the Holy Spirit. Is it Tom and Jane Slinker? Yeah. And he is a Rhema student. And he had MS so bad he couldn't walk. So he goes to Rhema. His wife's wheeling him around. He said, I'm going to believe I receive. So he began to believe he received, and next thing you know, he's got a cane and he's walking. This is at Rhema, where we're going to Bible school. He's walking, and he just kept believing he received, kept believing he received, kept believing he received. One day, he was getting in his car, and he hit his car with his cane. And his wife took his cane and threw it away and said, you're done with that cane. And he's been healed ever since. I don't know how old he is now, but he's old like me, praise God. And still walking around, still getting blessed. Can you say amen? Because he believed he received. And that's why I say you have to, whenever you pray, do anything, you need to pray according to his will. Now, I understand the enemy is going to try to talk you out of it. Your understanding is going to try to talk you out of it. And I'm not telling you to go off your medicine. No, I have everything confirmed by a doctor. Amen? But I am saying that you have to believe you receive. And then if you say, you know, I really feel like now there's a physical healing, then go to the doctor and have him confirm it. If it's there, then stop the medicine altogether. But you have to believe you receive. Amen. And I'm not just talking about paying bills. I'm not talking about just health issues. I'm talking about anything you pray about. You're praying about a wife, praying about a husband. Don't keep bugging God about, God, I need one. There's none around. All the good ones are gone. Believe you receive. And say to yourself afterwards, I spiritually received my new husband. This husband. Hopefully you're not divorced, but say you receive him. And just thank God every morning. Thank you, Father, for giving that to me. I give you praise. And one day someone will bump in and go, hi. And there we go. It works. It doesn't matter if it's a car. It doesn't matter if it's a house. It doesn't matter if it's a financial future, a business, it doesn't matter. Jesus said, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you receive it and you will have it. When you have it, I don't know, but you will have it if you're willing to believe according to his written word. Hallelujah. Now I'm going to give you something here that'll help because we're not talking about mental assent here. We're not talking about placebo. We're not. We're talking about the Word of God. Now listen to me. Whenever you pray, your desires are not what makes it work. It's the Word of God mixed with your desire that makes it work. This isn't just a book that someone wrote. It is inspired by the Holy Spirit. It is alive unto God. It is alive. The words are alive. Amen. What Jesus said 2,000 years ago is still alive. What God said through Jesus to Moses is alive. It's alive, these scriptures. And what a lot of people, the mistake they make, is they just go to God and say, well, I'm just going to believe I receive. You need to make sure you have his word on it. Now listen to this, John 15:7. If you abide in him, which means fellowship with him, and his word abides in you. Notice fellowship with God and his word abiding in you. If you do that, he says, whatever you ask for, you'll receive. So the first thing you need to do is you need to say, okay, I got this desire, and then I need to go to the Word of God, and sometimes God will just speak to you, and that's just as good as the Word, amen? But you got to have His Word to mix with your desire. It's kind of like Kool-Aid. Kool-Aid don't work just with water. You got to put the Kool-Aid in. Water won't be Kool-Aid. Got to put the Kool-Aid in the water. You got to put the Word in your desire. You got to mix it in there. Now, I'm going to get a little ornery right now. Is that okay? I've been telling people this for years, and they don't get it because our culture doesn't like it. I said, faith comes by hearing. It doesn't come because you heard. It comes because you continually hear. And it doesn't come when you just, you know, get a little snack every week at church. It comes by hearing. In other words, the more you feed on the Word, the more you take the water and mix it with more pure Kool-Aid, if I can use that illustration loosely. Sometimes our desire doesn't have enough of the anointing of the Word in it to move God. But when you take that Word and you meditate on it, and you confess that Word, and then you go to God and say, Lord, here's the verses I'm standing on right here, and you know those verses and you share those verses, you're mixing your desire with God's Word, which is alive and powerful. Now, I don't drink, but it, like water. Water won't get you intoxicated unless you put alcohol in it. And some people, some drinks only have less alcohol, right? So they don't affect you the same way. But I remember growing up when I was stupid, we'd get like 100 proof. Man, I'd give you a buzz real quick. Imagine if you had 100 proof Word mixed with the desire. Amen. Now don't preach, don't go out and say, Pastor wants me to drink. No. No, you don't want to do that. It dulls your senses and makes you susceptible to temptation. Don't do it. Praise God. But the point is, you have to mix it. And the problem is, some people, the mixture is more them than it is the Word. You got to have a lot of Word in it. That's why you feed on it. That's why when I was healed of allergies, I was going to Bible school in the morning and I was going to healing school in the afternoon, and I was feeding on the Word and feeding on the Word, and at night I was feeding on the Word, and I went to church and feeding on the Word. And so it was able to change something that no doctor could change. It was able to heal something that there was no solution in medical science for. And heaven began to rain on my body. Can you say amen? And so you have to believe you receive, and you got to feed on the Word of God. Feed on the Word of God. I said, feed on the Word of God. Say the Word. Say the Word. Say, my latter days are better than my former. Say, with long life, God will satisfy me and show His salvation to me. Say it. Say it. And then search it out in the Scriptures. I really think we live in a day that nobody knows what's in their Bible. Siri, where is that verse? No. Don't depend on man. Your Bible should be all messed up from use. You should have verses written on the side. Now, I know you say, well, you're old-fashioned. Yeah, but I'm healed. I don't care how you do it. But you need to meditate on the Word. Get it in your spirit. Amen? So I wanted to bring that out. And let me just say this. The miracle Jesus did in cursing the fig tree. After he spoke in faith to it, the tree was still green. Still green. Still smelled like a fig tree. Still had sap on the side of the tree. Still looked like there was nothing wrong with it at all. Hadn't been affected at all by what Jesus said. 24 hours later, it's withered up from the root and has fallen over. And Peter walks by and says, whoa, Lord, the tree that you cursed. Far as I know from the text, Jesus didn't even look at the tree. When he believed he received, he knew without a doubt it was going to happen. Praise God. But it gets to the root of the problem. Medical science, bless their hearts, they're wonderful. But all they do is work with the body. They don't get to the root. You know why some people are sick? They're sick because their spirit is sick. They're sick because they worry, and it wears down their immune system. They're sick because they've been in lack so long, the stress that they're under is destroying their health. But when you believe you receive, you change inside. And when you change inside, you get at the root of the problem, and it brings forth healing and blessing. Now, don't take this and be hard on anybody that's been sick. We've all been sick, all had problems. Amen? We always walk in love. I'm just telling you that you have to go back to according as it is written if you want to get the results that God has given us. And what the devil will do is he'll always emphasize debt over your assets. You say, what do you mean assets? How many know when you got saved, you get some assets? Seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. All your sins are forgiven from the past, present, and future. Hallelujah. Sanctified, called, set apart, destined for greatness. These are assets that you have as a believer. Given a measure of faith, kind of faith that created the world. These are assets. Amen. But the devil, to get you in doubt, he'll look at the debt. But the great news to know this when you come to Jesus is that he blots out your transgressions, which means he won't write them back in. He'll never hold it against you again, the sins that have been blotted out. Now, the devil will remind you of your past, but God won't, because you've already been forgiven and blotted out. Now, look at this verse. This is in Hebrews 10:17. Then he adds, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Say it with me, God won't remember it anymore. Satan may remind you of it. A friend may remind you of it. A demon-impressed individual may remind you of it. But God won't. And a lot of people, they get stuck on this. In Christianity, there's a lot of views about forgiveness, and I'm gonna give you the view I believe is correct, and it'll help your faith. And some people believe that there's positional forgiveness, which basically means when you get saved, all your sins are forgiven, past, present, and future. Because the Bible's clear in Hebrews, that's exactly what God did. But then they say there's a temporal forgiveness. Where then the problem with their temporal forgiveness is you have to recall and remember the sins that you committed and ask God to forgive you of them before he forgives you of them. So what happens is you become very conscious of all your weaknesses. Oh, I shouldn't have looked that way at that woman. Or I should have had a better attitude when I was on the freeway. And you get consumed with sin consciousness, which kills your faith. Now, I don't believe that's true, and let me prove to you why that's not true. In the scriptures, and you can write this down for reference, Romans 10, verse 9 and 10, it says is that if we confess with our mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we shall be saved. And it says, with the heart, man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Now, when you got saved, God didn't say, show me your list. Tell me every bad thing you've done. I can't save you until you do. He didn't do that. Soon as you believed in Jesus, he forgave you of all your sins. James, the half-brother of Jesus, who lived with Jesus as a child, he said this to the Jerusalem church, which was about 90,000 people. He said, if there's any sick among you, come so you can see their faith is working in that church. Out of 90,000 people. And then he said this. He said the prayer of faith would save the sick, and if they committed any sins, they shall be forgiven, and God would raise them up. In other words, they're raised up because they believed in faith the healing that God provided, and if there was a sin issue, God removed those sins as well automatically. Hallelujah. You got to become promise orientated if you want to believe you receive. And let me say it to you this way. Some of us, we struggle with different fleshly problems. Here's how you overcome it. It's real simple. The same principle that you use to believe you receive what you might need in life, you might need self-control. But what does the Bible say? God did not give you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind, so you believe you receive. I have self-control. It's in my salvation. You can't work out what hasn't been worked in. You can't work out love until you believe that God's love has been shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit, Romans 5:5. So sanctification, holy living, operates on the same principle. You believe, you receive spiritually what salvation has provided for you. Salvation has provided patience. Salvation has provided love. Salvation has provided self-control. Salvation has provided faithfulness. It's provided that in your salvation, you have to believe you have it, and then you can work it out. So it's the same principle. Whatever things that you ask in prayer, believe that you receive it and you shall have it. Now, it's important to realize you're talking about believing you're receiving something spiritually. It's not physical. It's spiritual. I believe I receive a spiritual healing. It will result in a physical healing, but the spiritual part is believing you receive. It's spiritual. That's why the blessings are spiritual first before they manifest in some physical way in your life. So we need that. And let me wind it down real quick here. John 20, beginning in the 24th verse down to the 27th verse, it shows you the difference. It says that the disciples came, and Judas was in the room, and they said, "We saw the Lord." And Judas says, if I don't with my hands see the prints in his hand, if I don't see in his hands those prints and take my finger and put in his hand and put in my side, I will not believe. That's what he says. And then it says, the next verse, it says, 8 days later, the disciples were inside again with Thomas. And it says that Jesus came into their midst and the door was shut. And said, "Peace be with you." And Thomas, falling down, begging God for forgiveness, even though he didn't directly ask for it. But what's so powerful about the text is Jesus says to him, he says, "Thomas, take your hand now, and I want you to put it here. I want you to put your finger in my hand. I want you to put it in your side and be believing, not unbelieving." And Thomas obviously repents, says, "I believe, Lord, my God, my Lord," he calls him Lord. And then Jesus says, "You believe because you saw, but blessed are those who believe without seeing." You can't get the promised land blessings unless you're able to believe you receive before you see it. Now, I'm not talking about seeing it in your imagination or vision. I'm talking about seeing it in the natural or feeling it in the natural. You can't move into the promised land without faith. You have to be willing to believe you receive. Believing has to be without seeing physically with your eyes. You got to believe you receive that spiritual need in your life. Stand up at your feet if you would right now.
Thanks for listening today. For more messages like this one, check out our podcast, River App, and our website at theriver.church. We're the river, and we're doing life together.